revelation of God and God's work and what God sent Jesus to this world for. I want to tell you, the religious world in Christendom has missed it. They've missed that. The religious world, Christendom is there's a darkness coming on Christianity. But there's a remnant of people that God's going to gather together out of that. And there's a great harvest coming. God's going to make a manifestation of himself in the end of this world that every child of God's going to have an opportunity to see. And the Lord is the greatest revival the Gentile world's ever seen. It's just out here ahead of us. And the Lord is giving revelation, but there's greater revelation, far greater revelation ahead. And but even right now, I believe it's available, is God can reveal to you Christ Jesus. Not just Jesus back there in the early church. Not just Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, but Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ, you got to get a revelation of what Christ came here for. The religious world wants you to believe that the law was such a mistake that God had to correct that by sending Jesus to just pay the price for every man, and because no man could keep the law and make an easier way. That's basically how I was taught it out in religion. Nothing can be farther from the truth. The law, there's nothing wrong with the law of God. No man could be made perfect under the law. That's true. It took something greater than the law, but the law was a schoolmaster to bring the Jews to Christ and to bring those that would receive him. He came to his own, they received him not, but as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And look, the whole world, Paul said in Romans, the whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. There, and not only they, but we, Paul said, are travailing. There's a travail going on in your heart, in my heart. There's a travail that lets me know. I was just thinking today, different ones coming up from prayer. I thought, God, every one of us needs that genuine touch of the Holy Ghost. We need it often. We need that crushing of the old man spirit, that old negative, that old Adamic negative spirit that's inside of every one of us. We need that wonderful Spirit of God to crush that and to give a refreshing to the inner man that's been born again in us. Every one of us, if you've been born again, there's an inner man that when God quickens you, that's a nature, the very nature of God that's imparted in a new birth. And when God's Spirit quickens that, that's why it's so important to be in church. So important to come to church and get that quickening. You go through things in life and you get, you know, situations of life are difficult. Sometimes situations in life get hard to bear and they get difficult. I thought one Brother York said, you know, I don't ever want to walk down the road again, my hands in my pocket, my head hanging down. Well, he was talking under inspiration. He's walked like that since he got the transmission. He ain't done yet, neither am I, because I'm still in this flesh, this fleshly man. I'm still trying to overcome him and move over into this new birth, this nature of God that's dwelling in me, that I'm still trying to learn how to walk in, still trying to learn how to get the mind of Christ and get the Spirit of God working in me where I'm led of the Spirit of God. And that the keys Hallelujah. That's what goes with this revelatory operation of God that's working in us, that God gives us first. He gives you revelation. Look, it's not just a revelation of who Jesus is. Let me tell you who Jesus is. He's the head of the body, which is the church. And unless you get a revelation of the body of Christ, you recognize the church that Jesus is building. You realize and you see, if you'd have been a Jew back in the days of Jesus, you'd have had to have a revelation. Peter, James, and John, Bartholomew, Matthias, those men had to get a revelation. The revelation they got pulled them out of everything they'd ever been taught about God. They met a man that God showed them, this is the Christ. He's the Messiah. And they heard he was coming, but they didn't know where he's leading them. All they knew was, we got to follow him. When God touches your life, you got to follow what God's working on in your life. Your whole family will turn against you. Your friends will deny you. They won't want anything to do with you. But that Holy Ghost working down inside of you, this operation of God that's revelatory, it will drive you into following God. And you can't help it. You'll suffer anything. Just to have that touch of God working, that revelation working. But there's something that comes with it. It takes time, but it comes with it. The keys. The keys. Jesus said, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Look, he wasn't just giving that. And that, look, that's not jangling keys. That ain't keys that'll start your car. You can't get your house with them. But it's the key of knowledge. The keys of life. The keys of death and hell and the grave. Jesus had them. But he said, I'm giving them to you, Peter. This is something about these keys. You can give them away and keep them at the same time. They're just copies. They're identical copies. You get your keys, just tell people. Say, hey, you see somebody with a key out there, sticking his key in the car, say, hey, we make keys at our church. If you need a key, you can get copies there. No charge. No charge. We don't charge for the keys that were made. Identical copies are made there. That'll get you talking to people. Yeah. Keys to the kingdom. And then he added to it a little bit about these keys. Whatsoever you bind on earth, you can have these. Every one of you can have these keys. You and I, the Lord, he didn't just pick out special ones. He doesn't have any bias. He doesn't have any problem with being prejudice against one person or another person. He don't have favorites. This is for all of us. We all have the same opportunity in God to an extent. If you've had a contact with God, you've got a greater opportunity than those who haven't. But God's looking for a way to touch their lives. And then they'll have to respond. That's true. They've got to respond to God. God won't force this on you. He won't force anything on you. I'm trying my best to get to a place as a minister and a pastor and a man of God not to force nothing on anybody. Just let God, leave it up to God. And then I know, one of the reasons I know he won't force it. He won't force it. not when it comes right down to forcing your will. There is times, God, that he will force you. But he's your father and he has a right. If you're his child, he has a right to chastise you. And he has a right to force you into certain things. But if it comes right down to you repelling and saying, God, leave me alone. I don't want to go this way. He'll turn you loose. He won't make you. He won't make you go. But he knows your heart, see. There's been times God's forced things on me, made me do things. Went right against my will. I didn't have any choice. God just, he put a roadblock up and a detour sign, and I had to take it. There wasn't no any other way to go. And then when I went down that detour road, I said, I don't like this. I'm turning around. I turned around, there was no road from where I came from. There was no going back, Brother Daniels. He raced the road. Yeah. In Psalms 139, it says he goes before you and behind you. Yeah. He fixes it where you can't do nothing but what he says to do. He's putting me in situations like that. But you know why he did that? Because he knew my heart. He knew I wanted to go. I just didn't know. I just couldn't see that this was the way. So he said, it's like this. I've told people this before too. You know, if I'm standing on a railroad track and there's a train coming, and you're standing, and I've went deaf temporarily, and you're saying, there's a train coming, get off the track. And I just stand there like I don't hear you. And you keep warning me, telling me there's a train coming. Look, for me, I'm telling you, take a ball bat if it takes it and knock me off the track. Get me off the track. You know, I mean, if I can't see the train coming and I don't believe it's coming, and you know it is, just go ahead and save me, even though I may not want your salvation. God knows that about me. He knows I want to be saved, so he takes the liberty. And then sometimes God lets me. He's quite a wise God. Sometimes God lets me have my way. You know, God does things sometimes. I drag my feet. I try to figure it all out for him. I drag my feet and I tell God why I can't do what he said. And I ain't for sure you said that anyway, God. I thought you said it, but I ain't sure now. Things are getting cloudy in. I don't even remember that dream altogether or that preacher or nothing else. And so sometimes God says, okay, I'll just let you go ahead and stew a while. He did that for the children of Israel in the wilderness. You know, if you want to go around the mountain again, just go ahead and go around it. I thought it was a marvelous testimony Sister Oates had and a marvelous answer that Brother Jason Dave gave. Do I give it all? It don't make sense. It does not make sense for me to have that kind of faith, to give everything I got and rob these children. Look, there's a perfect reasoning in this. But in the difference, let me tell you the difference. I hate to tell you this. I really do. God won't give all of you $30 for giving $10. I'd love to capitalize on that and take up an offering right here. And he won't do that. He just spoke to her heart. You give that $10. See? And she was wrestling with God talking to her. But she got an answer. She asked a brother. And he said, let's watch God do something. Well, it was easier for him because he didn't have to rationalize that or worry about his kids. And that wasn't his $10, no. It wasn't the last $10 he had. But it was enough for her to exercise the faith. And God, you know, I mean God, to give her $30, threefold. Wow. I'd have been happy with the 10. Here come another 20. Brother, that made me think of Brother Clyde Patton when he first came to the body. He was eating cereal and had kids and was living in a church and times was tough. He wasn't working and he's trying to follow and obey God. And he said he was walking down the sidewalk, Brother Jerry, with both hands in his pocket looking down. And he's telling God, see, look what all I've done for you, God. I'm trying to obey you, and I got kids at home hungry, starving to death. You must not even care. He's just reading God the right act. He's walking along, and he said, while I was talking to God like that, he said, you ever seen them little bitty whirlwinds that comes around? You know, you're walking along, you see a little old whirlwind about that big around, just kind of stir up the dust and just goes off to nowhere. One of them come up, right there. And then little old bushes on the side of the sidewalk, that little whirlwind just blowed the $20 bill right out in front of him. Him giving God the right act. He said he just blowed a 20 right out in front of me. This was back in the 50s when a 20 was a $200 bill. You ain't never seen one of them. Anyway, and he said, I almost was ashamed to bend down and pick that up. He said it was like God just rebuked me. He said, don't you tell me what I can and I can't do. I'll blow a $20 bill out of the dust for you anytime I get good and ready. Tell me what I'm able and what I ain't able to do. He said, but that I got down and repented right there. And I got my head up and got my hands out of my pocket. He said, I'm a servant of great God. Hallelujah. He can do anything. It's amazing what a little touch of God will do for your life. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Keys to the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth. Now that takes some growing up in God and to get those keys. See, there's more than just one key. When you get the key that's got enough power to bind things, where you can bind something that hindrances. You get to a place where you can stop the mouth of lions. Or I'm not talking about a real lion. I'm talking about devils. I'm talking about when you get to a place you can turn the other cheek. You can walk another mile with your enemy. You can love your enemies. You're moving into a powerful place when you get to a place like that. When you've got keys that starts binding. Brother Jerry, you had some key. You had some key help that day. He told that man, said, you know, here's where I am. That guy said, I ain't helping nobody out there on that highway. He left. God touched that man's heart. You get in your van. Get back here and find that transmission. There's one. I'll show you where it's at. Walk back here. Probably walk back here and say, well, there's a Dodge transmission. Same one he's telling me about. Something said, put that in your car and go down there and help that man. Your truck. My Lord, what a God. What a God. But the more we serve him and the more we grow in him, the more understanding we have about God and God's word. So important to get truths, to understand how God works and get to a place where you can know when God's leading you. You can know you're more sure. You're closer to him. That's why these touches, I was saying earlier, we need that so bad. We need those touches of the Holy Ghost. And you know, every one of you know. You remember what it's like when you come up out of that touch and everything's all right. You're at peace again. That calm assurance is there again. That clean feeling that goes all the way to your little toe is there again. Hallelujah. You're clothed from in a linen, white linen garment from the head to your toe. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Such a wonderful feeling to get that touch of God working back in your life that erases everything that hinders you. And you're walking in faith again. Lift it up. Important for us to have that. That's why Jesus had to come and suffer. He had to come. We needed a mediator. We needed an example. We needed someone that could show us the way. For God to give us a revelation. Oh, hallelujah. And then he's continuing and giving revelation of him. We'll not see Jesus walking on the earth like those 12 men. We read that scripture today in Hebrews where he said, but we see Jesus. They didn't see him in heaven. They didn't see him literally in the right hand. But they saw him in the church. They saw his body. They saw a manifestation of him in brothers and sisters that were being made just like him. And it takes a revelation from God to know what God's doing in this earth and to see the body that he's the head of. He's not the head of every body of religion out here. Not even Christianity. There's a lot of men the head of a lot of Christian organizations. They're voted in, they're voted out, and there's a lot of politics played in it. But Jesus is going to be the head of his church. He said, I'm going to build a church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. My Lord, don't you know there's people thinking, man, there's synagogues on every corner. Are you going to build one? He wasn't building another synagogue. He was building a church of God. A church that God was the head of him that was influencing those according to the will of God. God uses all of this out here that man's doing, and God understands that men are missing it and that they're on a limited understanding, knowledge and understanding of him. And God works with that. But he's not satisfied, neither will he be with it. But God's continually working to finally bring his will into our will. Finally bring our will into his will. And together a group of people that he'll make up bride members out of. I want that. Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. How would you like to get to a place that where Jesus said, if you ask according to my will, whatsoever you ask, you'll have it. It's not a problem. James said, you ask, but you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your own lust. When you get to a place where you've got the mind of the Spirit and you know what you're asking for is God's will, you can know you're going to get the answer. And one time Jesus, he must have had just a little bit of, I noticed, he must have just had a little bit of doubt hitting him. Because he told God, he said, do this for your work's sake. He must have thought, you know, must have been a little trying to convince God a little bit. Look, we got a work going on here and I need your help. I need your manifestation to back this up. Oh, dear God. Keep serving him, saints. Just keep serving him. Keep making yourself available to him. Keep yielding to him, but keep getting in those moves of the Spirit. I want y'all to pray with me. I'm asking God. God, would you give us one of those soakers? I'm talking about, I appreciate the Spirit of God we have here in this booth. I'm not trying to belittle that at all. But I'm telling you, I know there's some of you here that knows what I'm talking about. There's some deep, deep soaking moves of God's Spirit, and we need them. I'm asking God, give us some things that will turn us back into a melting pot that causes us to feel you in such a deep way that we feel renewed and our vision is renewed all over again, and every cloudy thing goes away and everything becomes clear again. We need that, saints. We need it. There's meetings. Pray for this youth meeting. God, touch our young people. God, purify their minds. Give them clear minds. I'd like to see God touch our young people in a greater way. And that absolutely causes them to move up at least another rung or two in their growth in God, that God just said, I'm just gonna let you skip a grade and just give you whatever you had to have to get there and move right on. I think God's able to do that. Yeah, He is. He can touch your mind in such a way that you can be changed in a short period of time. Oh, hallelujah. I'm asking God, give us some services that we're just out, just laying all over the floor, don't know what's going on anywhere else but what you're doing right here inside of me. I know it's not all about me, but I need something all about me before I can do something all about y'all. The keys to death. How'd you like? God's equipping us. He wants you to have the key to death. Lock it up. You can't get out. Bind it. Hell. Zachary, you getting these keys? All right. Hell. There's more than one hell. You know, there's a religious hell. You need to get that locked up. You can be tossed about with every wind of doctrine, whereby men lie and wait to deceive. They're even deceived, and they're deceiving you. You need to get the keys of knowledge to a place when men start talking and they don't know what they're talking about, that you can just go locking that out. That's not influencing. You can't blow me about till we all come to the fullness of the stature of the man Christ Jesus. Till we be no more children, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Ephesians 4. God, give me the keys. God's given that out. Right now, you can have keys that, with enough truth, keys of knowledge, you won't be deceived by deceivers or men that don't understand the Word of God. And that's a hell, by the way. Jesus said in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, he said to the Pharisees, he said, you search land and sea to make one proselyte, and when you find him, you make him twofold more the child of hell than you are yourselves. You know what he was saying? He's saying you're making him a two-time child of hell. He's already in one hell, and you're going to put him in another one. More than you are in hell right now yourself. They were in a hellish condition of religion, religious ideology that had them bound. They couldn't see Christ. Here you take a man, a proselyte, and get him out of the world. That's another hell. The wickedness burneth as a fire. You can be, there's more than one hell. One hell is just a grave. But there's religious hells, the Bible talks about. And then out here, if you're in the ungodly world, surely you know that's a hellish condition. And you get a man out of that. Some religious groups gets men out of that and puts them in another hell. Another system that's got another ideology that's got them bound. But the liberty that's in Christ Jesus, that's what we're looking for. God, give us liberty. Set us free from everything that hinders your will. Hallelujah. Your wisdom from working. Well, I know I got to get out from. Praise God. Blessed Lord. Why don't we just stand right here? It's getting late. We got dinner. I'm surely ready. It's potluck dinner, so everybody's welcome to stay. Brother Johnson, you need a little more meat on your bones anyway. You might as well stay with us and eat. Let's thank God for His goodness today. Thank Him for the food and the fellowship. Oh God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. God,